season over.
Let's go.
It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money.
It's Pharrell. Coast to coast.
All right, coast to coast. I'm Pharrell. Carver High's with me. Mafia and the crew back at World Headquarters in Midtown Manhattan. I'm over at the Meadowlands, and it's rocking in here, as it always is. Tons of racebook bettors, sportsbook bettors. They're all going crazy in here. There's a lot of profanity. I love it. It's my home away from home. I spend a lot of time here now all of a sudden doing coast-to-coast and in-game live. I'll be on in-game live at 7 tonight, 7 to 9. KW will join us. Kevin Walsh, he's with us now on the second hour of coast-to-coast. How you doing there, KW?
I'm always
so I don't have him. I can't hear him. So, oh, there he is.
There he is.
Thank God.
My bad about that.
I didn't hear you at first, and I
I think the mic was a little messed up. That might have been on me, but excited, Scott. It's NBA trade deadline day. I know it has passed, but I still feel like I'm on a high. It was exciting. We were wondering if it was going to be a little anticlimactic. We had a bunch of big deals. I'm excited to talk about them a little bit. I absolutely love when we get the player movement.
So what did you think of today? What deal excited you, if any?
I think the biggest one for this season has to be the Marcus Morris deal, because that's the one that involves the top of the league, involving the Clippers. I think the move was a little interesting, though. You dive into some of the advanced numbers, and Mo Harkless, he's not a bum. They didn't lose nobody, and on the season was a pretty solid defender. The thing about Marcus Morris this year is he's not just been a good 3-point shooter. He's arguably been the best 3-point shooter in the league. I mean, he's shooting about 6 threes a game and around 43% from the line. It's one of those years. I'm sure there could be some people out there who say, could this be an outlier? Are we going to see him continue at this pace? I think it would be unfair to assume a drop-off, but I thought it was really interesting to see that they actually wanted to go out and add more offense. I almost feel, Scott, like it was more to block the Lakers from getting him than anything else.
So, who's shooting 43%, you're telling me?
Marcus Morris is shooting 43% from three.
Yeah, I had to hear it twice so I could absorb the fact that they gave him $15 million because, I mean, the bottom line is he was the toughest guy on the team. He was physical, but they wanted him. I think that's why they wanted him. I think they wanted to get tougher with Beverly and company, more physical, more nasty, in your face. He can bang. He can walk you down. Mm-hmm. He can score. He can shoot threes. The guy does it all, inside and outside, and I think he made the Clippers nastier. We'll talk more about that Harkless deal and the first rounder that they got when we talk about these deals and trade deadline stuff and the NBA games. We'll hit all the NBA games at College Rack with KW coming up, plus Rick Camlo will join us from NBA Radio. Why don't we get an update right now, though, from Carver High?
Sports Grid News Update.
All right, Scotty, NBA trade deadline today. It is come and gone. Plenty of deals. D'Angelo Russell is off to Minnesota. Andrew Wiggins and picks, including a 2021 protected first rounder, going back to Golden State. The Pistons send Andre Drummond to Cleveland. The Clippers get Marcus Morris from the Knicks in a 3-team deal with the Wizards. They also got Isaiah Thomas. Reports say they will not keep him. Mo Harkless in a first went to the Knicks. Jerome Robinson to the Wizards. Reports say that the Knicks will hire CAA player agent Leon Rose as the team's president of basketball operations. Rose has been an agent for decades around the league, currently repping Karl-Anthony Towns, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and more. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred says the deal for hedge fund manager Steve Cohen to buy the Mets is dead. Cohen was reportedly going to buy 80% of the team and take complete control in 5 years. Tonight's NBA, the Magic are at the Garden to face the Knicks. Orlando, -4 road favorites right now. The Pelicans, also a road favorite. They are in Chicago, -5 right now, taking on the Bulls. Sixers and Bucks, the big early game in Milwaukee. Bucks, -9 right now. Portland hosts the Spurs and the Trailblazers, -3.5. And the late game in LA at Staples, Lakers, -8 right now, hosting the Rockets. NCAA tonight, Wichita State -5 hosting Cincinnati. Number 24, Colorado -16 hosting Cal. USC getting 10 at number 23, Arizona. Number 25, Houston -16.5 with Tulane coming to town. Number 2, Gonzaga, late night, 11 p.m. Eastern, -25 hosting Loyola Marymount. NHL 12 games, huge slate early on. Ducks are in Montreal, Habs -160. Sabres and Wings in the B-low, -210 for the Sabres. Islanders host the Kings in Brooklyn, -195. Flyers hosting the Devils, Flyers -230. Penguins and Lightning in Tampa, -165 for the Lightning. The Knights are in Florida to take on the Panthers, and Colorado -210 at Ottawa. I'm Carver High with a Sports Grid update. Want the edge? Get on the grid.
All right, let's throw it back to Kevin Walsh. They want me to hand it over to KW back in Midtown, and he can go over some of these NBA games tonight that are on the slate. I think it's five deep, and any of the other news. And I'd love to get your opinion at the jump about Harkless, because I like his game. He didn't get a lot of, you know, looks and shots and burn with the Clippers. He was kind of a stick figure in that rotation because they got so many guys that are, you know, ball hogs. We know who scores. Kawhi and Georgia, the whole team, nobody else does anything. But on this team, I want to know what you think he can do with Byrne on the Knicks and what you thought of them getting that first rounder, which was the key to the deal for giving up Morris, obviously, a 2020 first rounder. So tell me what you thought of that deal. Tell me what you thought of the D'Lo deal. And give me the five NBA games that you're running with tonight, KW.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. We'll start kind of with the whole Mo Harkless thing that you mentioned there. And this, again, this was not a throw-in. He has been point-blank period better than Marcus Morris on the defensive side of the ball, and I don't think that is something that is really being talked about enough in this conversation. And also, I know it very well. This is a kid that is from New York. He's from Queens, my hometown, went to St. John's, went to Forest Hills High School. This is a local kid who will buy into being at the Garden in New York and trying to bring that toughness back. You talked about the toughness of Marcus Morris. Well noted, but Mo Harkless is not going to come in and let people push them over in the Garden. I think that's big. In terms of his scoring ability, now it's not that of Marcus Morris, but this is still a guy who's having a really nice year from behind the three-point line, currently shooting it at 37%. Last year was a down year, only 27.5%, but before that was 41.5%. So it's a little bit streaky, seemingly year to year, but I think that they can find that balance. And the big thing that you mentioned was them getting this first-round pick. And really, it's crazy to think about, but the Knicks worked this deadline masterfully. If you really, really think about the ability to pit the two LA teams against one another, that is to me what jumped off the page. We got the reports that they were asking the Lakers to hand over Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green. Like, they were overly ambitious in what they wanted the Lakers to give them. That's probably would have made the Lakers worse, so it was smart of the Lakers not to move that far, but clearly the Lakers considered things enough that it got the Clippers to then include that first-round pick. I mean, really think about this. The Knicks stole Marcus Morris away from the San Antonio Spurs, who had already signed. Everything was locked up because he was going to the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs moved on from Davis Bertans, who's now out in Washington shooting threes galore. It's been incredible for them. They were trying to get multiple first-round picks for him actually at this deadline. That's how confident the Spurs were in landing Marcus Morris. The Knicks steal him away, give him a one-year deal, and a guy who potentially could have left at season's end, they flip into a really nice player in Mo Harkless and a first-round pick. It's crazy to say, but the most no-brainer winner of this deadline is genuinely the New York Knicks. The other team that you can lump in there for me is the Minnesota Timberwolves, and people can go back and forth on this, but here's ultimately how this shakes out for me. Andrew Wiggins is on one of the worst, if not the absolute worst, contracts in the league currently. You think about John Wall. Some people are really starting to get low on the Al Horford deal. The thing about Wiggins is he's young, not injured, and we still can't find positives to his contract, to his upside. And it pains me because I'm a Wiggins guy. I'm someone who believes that this kid was going to be a perennial all-star. There's a part of me that won't ever give up and will always believe he could be a perennial all-star. But you look at what that team had to send back to Golden State. The first round pick, a second round pick, Scott. That's what you would have thought they needed to send just to get off of Wiggins' money. They then got D'Angelo Russell back on top of that, which should absolutely appease their franchise guy in Cat. I thought it was a masterful job from Minnesota as well, Scott.
But, I mean, you know as well as I do that, you know, we had this conversation in hour one at Coast to Coast. Wiggins still has game. He's 20 a pop. He gives you a few boards, a few dimes. He gives you a steal a game. The numbers with D'Lo are almost identical. I think he'll do well out there. I think D'Lo will do well with his boy. But they're almost like the identical player. So if Wiggins couldn't win with Cat, what makes you think D'Lo will? Because, and I got 30 seconds, I think they're the same player. I think Cat's the guy to blame on why the T-Wolves stink.
I think Cat absolutely deserves blame, but I think the big difference is D'Lo's ability to be more of a passer and to play the pick and roll game. Wiggins is more of that ISO scorer. Yes, D'Lo does a lot of it as well, Scott, but I really do believe that D'Lo's more of a pure point who can get the most out of Cat and guys around this Minnesota team.
All right, we'll get into all the games. These guys are masterful out here. They turned me on. They turned me off. They were switching machines. They were juggling. They went on a date. They ate a pizza. And we still got on with KW. Carver, I can't even believe it. Rick Kamla's next from NBA Radio, Coast to Coast. Come on.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
I was just noticing, Carver High, that the great Liz Carver is involved in the show now. I love that she's always, you know, jumping into the fray with the radio show. Now she's over here on the TV side supporting us. She's like she's almost like a publicist, like my girl Marianne from Brooklyn from the Howard Stern Show. She's like always pimping us out to the public. You got to love your mother, Liz.
Yes, mom always likes, she loves using that Twitter. So she likes to retweet, favorite, like.
It's all very political.
Yeah.
Very political.
Yes, she is.
All right, Rick Kamla is our boy from NBA Radio. Rick has been on my radio show forever, and he's just awesome, and he loves NBA Rack. He just likes basketball in general. I love him. He's always been a great partner and colleague of ours. Let's bring him in to Coast on Sports Grid now. Kamla can't even believe they put Pharrell on TV. Can you imagine, Mr. Kamla?
Oh, this is unbelievable, man. And what a day. Scott, happy for your newfound success here. Obviously, you've been balling for years, but good to be with you on a new platform here on Sports Grid. Where do you want to start with all the popcorn that was popping today?
I'm telling you, where I want to start is, strangely enough, now we've been talking about D'Lo. I want to get your opinion on that. We've been talking about Harkless and, you know, the Knicks getting a 2020 first rounder. And what I want to talk about is, because I haven't hit this yet from an angle of what happened, was the Danilo Gallinari deal. Because last night everybody thought Iggy was, you know, that deal went down and that they were going to get Gallinari and that they were going to move up to number two in the East and, you know, power structure or juice that people thought. What happened to that deal?
Well, what I think happened is, and we got some intel that the Thunder and the Heat could not come to terms on how that transaction would go. And what we also heard was that through reports that Miami was trying to work out an extension with Danilo Gallinari, who's in the final year of his deal. So I don't think that Gallo and his people were able to come together with Miami in terms of how much they wanted to pay him. And then you see Miami go ahead and add Deion Waiters and James Johnson to the deal, going to Memphis with Justice Winslow. And obviously Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill were added with Andre Iguodala going to Miami to make all the money work and all the puzzle pieces fit. So I think it came once Miami realized, all right, man, we can't come to terms with Gallinari. We want to pay him this. He wants this. I think they said, all right, screw it. We're moving ahead with Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill, and we're doing it that way. And we're getting some you know, really solid perimeter defenders. I mean, all three of those guys defend the perimeter. Obviously, Iguodala is at a different level. Then there's Jay Crowder, who's really solid, and Solomon Hill is below them. But all three of those guys are going to help the Miami Heat cause. They all play hard. They're all team-first guys. So that's my read on why Gallo is not a member of the Heat right now.
How much game, Rick Kamla, do you think Iggy's got left in him? People talking about how incredible he is. He was incredible to me in 2015, and now he's been sitting out, and Russ never sleeps. I want to know, you know, $30 million he got. What a deal this guy got for being in the garage hanging on the wall. Honestly, what do you think he's got left in the tank? Is the red light on, or does he have more than a quarter tank left?
It's a great question, and it's one that I pondered myself with Tim Legler today on NBA radio. And look, I think he's going to be solid, Scott. I don't think it's I'm a little underwhelmed by it. There are a lot of people that think this, you know, gets Miami, you know, clearly to the number two spot. I'm not there. Toronto to me and Boston, they have so much dog in them, Scott, and they play so damn hard, and they are so good with the comeback, right? That, to me, is championship DNA. You're getting smoked by 20. Do you just go out like punks, or do you rise up and win? I mean, we saw it last night with Toronto. Boston frequently this year has fallen into a big hole. They climb out of it. So, I mean, it's not like I don't like what Miami did. I do like what they did. But Andre Iguodala is 36 years old. He's not 32 or 33, all right? And as you said, he's been out all year. There's going to be rust. I think overall, I think his body, he said it's feeling great. And so I think the time off is good in that regard for a 36-year-old dude. But, Scott, I look back at Iguodala, okay, in his career log in terms of defensive rating, just to see how it was trending. Okay, in the last 2 years at Golden State, he had a defensive rating of 109. All right, Scott, you know this. The really good, the elite defensive ratings are 98, 99, 100, 101, 102. Like if you're around 100 or if you're below 100, you are near the top of the charts in defensive rating. He's at 109
right.
The last 2 years. That's middle of the pack. And so I think it's a good get for Miami, but I guess what I would like to do is get nuanced with the adjectives with you. I think it's a good move, not a great move.
Yeah, I'm with you, Rick. You know, you and I should spend way more time together golfing or something, because I think like you, and that's how I saw it. Tell me about this. This is an interesting angle as well. The Warriors' maneuvers to, you know, they give up on a guy they really liked in Glenn Robinson III, and they give up Alec Burks. But the reality of the deal was the stockpiling of all those second-round picks they have in the draft now, and to get their tax bill from $9 million down to $3 million. Those were smart moves, I thought, today by Myers. Am I wrong there?
No, you're not. And look, you're like, what do you mean? Those owners out in Golden State that do such a great job, they got all this money. Look, when you're going to have what are they going to be this year, Scott? 18-64 or whatever it is. Like even rich dudes are like, come on, let's take a little haircut here. Let's save a little bit of money. And obviously, when they're in the championship fast lane, they're not going to be afraid to spend money and go over the line. But in a year where you're the worst team in the NBA, you're just reluctant to do that. I will say this. I love the move for the Minnesota Timberwolves to pick up D'Angelo Russell. Is he, with Karl Anthony Towns, going to impact winning on that team? I have no idea. Knowing the history of that team, I would bet against it. But it's a great move. It's exactly what Minnesota needs. Andrew Wiggins didn't impact winning for them at all, never was. And so let's go ahead and roll the dice on Russell. He and Karl Anthony Towns are really, really good friends. And so that's going to work out. Russell's under contract this year and then three more at a total of 117. So Minnesota's got their guy. Love what they did, Scott. But let's look at Golden State here for a second. And they did get draft pick compensation for their troubles, right? They got a protected 2021 first. And they got a 2021 right. Second from Minnesota.
Right.
But, Scott, think about Andrew Wiggins with the low motor and the lack of competitiveness, and I don't think he loves the game enough, going to Golden State, where all they do is win and all they think about is winning. And you've got Clay and you've got Steph and you've got Draymond and Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and great ownership, right? Like, that's all they do is win. Andrew Wiggins laces him up, puts a jock strap on, and just goes out there and plays and collects a paycheck. So he doesn't have championship DNA, Scott, so I don't think this is going to work. In theory, they need a 3-and-D guy. They need an athletic, do a lot of things, small forward, right, to fit with Clay and Steph. I just think they got the wrong guy.
So Rick Kamla with us, NBA Radio. Rick, Drummond goes from Detroit to Cleveland. Is that like getting transferred from Alcatraz to Leavenworth?
That's a pretty spot-on analogy, actually, Matt. I got to give you that. Look, everybody's bagging on this move and everything. And, like, from the Detroit perspective, it's like I would have just held on to him, okay? Like, if you're telling me, I mean, it's like the trade in semi-pro, right, with Jackie Moon and what's this guy's name, Monix? And what they give up a washing machine for him or something, right? It's like that. But Scott, if I'm Detroit, I'm not taking back that lousy package of assets for Andre Drummond. I'm going to play it out to the offseason, maybe give myself in advance of the draft another opportunity to trade him. Maybe I extend him and then try. I don't know, but I'm not giving him up for that low of a price tag. But because it was that low of a price tag, Scott, I love the move for Cleveland. No free agents are going to Cleveland. You have to trade for dudes and you have to draft dudes. That's the only way they're going to get better. And they're starting five next year, okay? It's a little clunky in terms of the mixture of age and, you know, of vets and youth, but your starting five is going to be Garland and Sexton, who I like. Jetty Osmond is your three and your glue guy. Kevin Love is going to be a re-energized four, in my opinion, because they actually brought some dudes in that want to win. And they've actually got some talent on the floor, and then you'll have Andre Drummond at the five. Okay, so Garland, Sexton, Osmond, and Love and Drummond isn't that bad of a starting five. Do I think Cleveland's making the playoffs next year? No. But do I think Cleveland, with the right coaching, with the right pieces around those dudes, could they knock on the door of the playoffs in the East? I would say maybe.
Sixers and Bucks tonight in Brewtown, Rick. What do you think the Sixers are going to look like tonight? They've been awful lately.
Well, Scott, I hear you guys do a lot of point spread stuff here at Sports Grid. Am I right about that?
You got that right, Rick.
And I know it doesn't matter the platform you're on. You're always thinking about over-unders and who's giving what.
Right.
Let me tell you this, my friend. The Houston Rockets have not lost with this 6'6" and under small ball. Like, Mike D'Antoni has taken Don Nelson's small ball to Mars, okay? Like, they picked up a center in Jordan Bell and then immediately moved him because suddenly they're allergic to seven-footers over there. So, but they haven't lost yet in this format with this lineup here, Scott. So check it out. Do I think Houston's going to go into L.A. and win tonight? I don't know. They might, but it's 8.5. And so, like, I have a question of whether they're going to win the game or not, and I'm getting 8.5 points. I think the Rockets are a really good play tonight. They've got Robert Covington. They're just embracing this small ball thing. You know Westbrook's going to be activated tonight with the Southern California ties. So I like the Rockets tonight, Scott, +8.5.
All right, so Rockets, I got them at Lakers -6 when it opened. I'll take that. We're going to get into more of these NBA games with Kevin Walsh. Thanks a lot, Rick Kamla. Great job. We'll get you back on Coast to Coast.
All right, you're my guy.
There he is, Rick Kamla of NBA Radio. We'll hit all these games. Sixers, Bucks, he was afraid to give me that pick. Carver High's not afraid. KW is not afraid. That number's still at 9, Coast to Coast.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Mafia is getting in fights with the people back in the headquarters. I just wanted to let the guy know that wants to call Mafia names, which I'm friendly with everyone. I get along with everyone. The guy that's mad at Mafia is calling him names and everything else. Here's the deal. Just so we're clear, Mafia is 6'5", 240. He will throw you across a room, okay? Like splat off of a window. You'll be lucky if the window's closed so you don't go out the window. Mafia is enormous. So be careful who you pick fights with. Sometimes you got to be real careful who you decide to be a badass with. Because sometimes you might get something back in your face, like one of these. I literally knocked myself off the air there. But I hope so, because Mafia doesn't mess around. Here's the deal. KW, we got KW back. Kevin Walsh with us after we had Rick Camlin on. Rick Camlin was afraid to pick the Sixers-Bucks game.
It's actually not true. He just texted me and said to check his Twitter timeline for his picks. So,
oh, is that right?
He just, you know, we ran out a little time there. So
I don't have time for that. I have time for KW. He is not afraid to do any picks at all. He'll do all the NBA and college rack with us tonight, and I guarantee you every game we're going to get in here in the next half hour. I can promise you that. KW, let's start with the Bucks and Sixers. When that line came out at 9, I sat there and looked at it for 5 minutes last night when I do my picks for Pharrell and Events.com, and I struggled with it. Yeah. I eventually laid it. What did you do?
I'm going the other way. It's very, very stubborn of me. I cannot stop talking
right.
about how awful this Philadelphia 76ers team is on the road, but they keep losing to top Eastern Conference teams on the road. These are big games. There was this big conversation around getting the ship back together, and Embiid making comments, Simmons making comments, Horford making comments. We heard today the report that Josh Richardson held a players-only meeting, which really speaks to the state of this team.
Whatever.
That it's Josh Richardson.
Whatever.
No, Josh, I agree. And yet somehow I can't help but take the 9 points. It just... how many times are we going to really get the opportunity to take a team as good as Philly catch a 9? I am going to try and rely on what Philly was able to do Christmas Day and hope they go out there and show heart for like the first time all year on the road and get us a win.
So when they played, well, first of all, Richardson, my wife has more juice than him. Now, what about where did they play on Christmas Day again? Was it at home or on the road?
In Philly.
Oh, it was, well, in Pharrell and Elliott are a different beast altogether.
100%.
Simmons is going north and south and getting to the rack, and they do everything right at home. But you've seen the way they played KW lately, and it's been, landfill-type basketball, trash, where the carcass of the birds fly over the carcass. So tell me, what makes you think, because I think the number's high, too. I think it's dangerously high because of the backdoor cover here and, the garbage time. I think that they could score buckets and get back in and backdoor. The Bucks do not mess around with anybody, KW. They are obliterating everyone they play.
Yeah, and they have reason to be pissed off because the last time they played, the Sixers kind of handed their ass to them. Don't get me wrong here, Scott. This is the most I've ever hated a pick that I've had in my
right.
entire life. But I cannot help but take the points. The Sixers have lost 3 games in a row. Why? Because they were all on the road. Miami and Boston are tough places to play, but it also includes losing to Atlanta. They are so bad on the road. They are 3-8-1 ATS as a road dog. There's nothing.
Well, that's where they are tonight.
I know, and I still can't help but take Philly. The 9 is high. I pray Christmas was real. I pray they come out and show up because they do have the talent to compete with anybody.
I hope you're right, and it's a dangerous way to make a living, laying that kind of wood. But with that team, with the Bucks, the way they play,
yeah.
And they get it from everybody. It's not just – I think a lot of people think it's just KW that it's Giannis and nobody else, and that is not the case. They're getting it from every – Bledsoe's performing. They're all filling it up. Their bench is filling it up. Middleton's filling it up. They play great defense. They got great coaching. I don't deny that Philly's a good team. I'm not saying that. They're just – I think they're in a lull right now, Carver High. The way they've been playing, I think they've hit an early – you know, late January, early February lull where they've, you know, hit a wall a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're one of those teams that has a lot of talent, and we've talked about them a lot. They don't get up for games against lesser teams. You would think that they would get up tonight playing the Bucks. I kind of like Milwaukee here, but you know me, Scotty. This is a game that I'm going to watch as it starts because 9 is a big number, and I might wait around, see if the Sixers can get out to a little early lead and then try to jump on the Bucks.
A little end game.
But I am going to play a prop in this game for you, Scott.
What do you got?
And I got Chris Middleton over 2.5 3-pointers tonight. He's hit it in 6 of his last 8 games. He's gone over that number. And you're getting it at plus 132. So I'm in on Middleton.
Did your boy Bogdanovich do it last night
for you? He sure did. Another one for Boyan last night. He got 3-3, so he went over the number. He's been on fire.
KW, I don't know if you knew this or not, but you worked with Carver High last week on Friday at the at the Renaissance. I have to tell you, Carver High now is 87-3 with his prop bets since he started on Sports.
I believe. Scott, I was there. He bet Kyrie Irving hit a prop for him at half. He hadn't missed a shot. He needed him to make 3 threes at the half. He was 4-for-4.
Kev, he had it at the end of the first quarter.
I know, right? I'm selling you short. It was incredible. I'm assuming Middleton hit 3 threes in the first 3 possessions.
He hit the Toronto Ranger over last night. That was 8, and he had it at 6. So he hits everything. Super Bowl props.
We had the under in the first with the Blackhawks and the Bruins
He hit a Predators prop, first period prop the other night. Like, I didn't even know the Predators were still in the NHL after the Penguins finished him off in the Stanley Cup Finals. I thought they disbanded.
Yeah.
I really did. And then the Sharks as well. They've never been the same. They've never recovered. Their girlfriends left them. So here's the deal. Let's talk about these other games. Magic Knicks at the Garden, world's most famous. I got to tell you, you lose Morris. You know Harkless won't be there. They stink to begin with, even with Morris. I'd be surprised if the Magic don't crank them tonight in New York.
Yeah, that's the thing. I initially thought that the Knicks were interesting here before the deal because they were playing some decent ball and they were home. But they've won 2 in a row. Their leading scorer in both of those games was Marcus Morris. He's now gone. So now you're needing the Knicks without their best player on the season to win the third game in a row. Hell no. Give me the Magic. I'll lay the 4 points. I do like the Julius Randle over 22.5, though, to go into Carver's department with the props because somebody's got to step up in the absence of Morris. A lot of attempts to go around.
Yeah, well, I said earlier in hour 1 of Coast to Coast, maybe it was in this hour. I don't remember, Carver. I have a short-term memory. Believe me, there was a lot of smoke the years earlier. But Randle and Morris are the only 2 guys that score on the team. So, I mean, Randle's now going to go Ball Hog City. He's going to jack about 35 shots a game now, counting at Pelicans, Bulls, and Chicago. KW, I struggled with this game because originally I thought Pels would win the game and the Bulls would cover, and the number was at 3.5. Then it went to 4. Now it's at 5 with the Pelicans favored by 5. And I'll tell you what I did. I ended up flipping it completely. I hate to flip, but I never picked the Pelicans to win it. I went Bulls to win this game, and I'll take the 5. I say the Bulls have been terrible, and they're just coming off the road. They're at home. They got 1 game at home. They go back out for a 2-gamer, I think, on the road. I'm going to take them at home to knock off the Pels. The Pels are better. They are better with Zion, but they still lose every night.
You know, that's the thing. It's tough because that 3.5 was an attractive price on them. If you force me to play the side, I'd rather take the Pelicans because I do believe they win this game. They were playing a little bit better. Them losing 3 in a row would be tough. I know you don't love your totals, but 230 might sound high for the Pelicans. It's really, really low. I'd go over the 230.
What do you think there, Carver High? Pels or Bulls on the west side of Chicago?
Yeah, I actually like the Pelicans tonight also.
Screw both of you.
But here's what I actually do like. You know, our boy Smitty tipped me off the other night about this Lonzo Ball, how he's been getting a lot of triple-doubles lately. So I'm going to go with him again. Points, assists, and rebounds over 26.5, minus 118 tonight. Ball's done that total, over that total combined in 4 games in a row, 5 out of 6. So Smitty tipped me off on Lonzo Ball. I'm going to ride with him tonight.
I'm a little leery of that one because he's been doing that on Bourbon Street, and I'm going to say in Chicago, that doesn't happen on the road. All right, I want to get into this other one. Well, you know, Kamla hit Rockets Lakers, but I didn't get KW on that one. Rockets Lakers, the late game, 10:30 East at Lipstick City at Staples. I got the Lakers when it opened at 6. It was my top play on NBA plays on PharrellOnTheBench.com tonight. What do you think, KW?
Yeah, look, Rick was awesome, man, but I couldn't, I could not disagree more. All those small ball numbers are great till you roll into L.A. and the Lakers have Anthony Davis playing the four, JaVale McGee at the five, then
McGee.
Dwight comes off the bench. I don't have any clue how the Rockets plan on stopping the Lakers, and I know you can't take everything from one matchup, but these teams played in Houston the other day. No Anthony Davis, and the Lakers won outright with a massive second half here. Westbrook's playing good. It'll drop the number a little bit. The 8.5 that Rick wanted is not out there anymore. It's now coming back down to 6.5, closer to that number that you originally got it at, Scott. Could not agree more. I think the Lakers run them out of the building.
Now, I think the plan for the Rockets is going to be simple, and it's going to be Jack. High-speed threes all night. I think they're going to shoot 50 threes at least. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Spurs Blazers at the Moda in Rip City tonight, KW. Portland minus 3.5. I got to tell you, I almost leaned Spurs here on the road, but they've kind of hurled so many times on the road. They've been playing better lately, but I don't trust them. I got 40 seconds. What do you think there, Blazers or Spurs?
Yeah, I think I'm going to roll with the Spurs in this one. Portland, we saw it the other day in their matchup against the Nuggets. Unless Damian Lillard gives you 50 points, clearly just not as competitive. It's far too big of an asking price for even a guy as good as Damian Lillard. I'll take the 3.5 points. I'll play him on the money line as well. San Antonio upset Portland.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go with all the college rack next that we can squeeze in. But look on the bright side. It's 7-9 Eastern. KW is with me on In-Game Live, and we'll gamble heavily on college rack all night, plus the NBA and NHL coast to coast.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
Poison, 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 poison. Poison, 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 poison. Sometimes I just have to just start dancing and going off. I mean, it just happens all the time. It appears that Mafia is now getting along with the guy Bob. They were going to have a fist fight and everything, and now it looks like they're getting along because I think he may have caught on to the fact that Mafia is twice his size and spits people out for breakfast. You know, you encourage violence and Mafia's all over it. How do you get a nickname like Mafia unless you, like, you know, keep a bat in the back of your trunk for, you know, road disputes and such, or trips to the airport late at night to make sure all the trucks are getting into their proper locations.
And you had experience with that firsthand, Scott, from when we sparred a couple times when we trained MMA for that, you know, year or two there.
Yeah, Mafia kicked me once, and I flew across the room and landed in London. I mean, I started out in New York, and I ended up in London across the pond on one kick to my rib cage, and I was injured for months. I ate a bunch of pills and drank scotch. I felt fine when it was over. All right, KW is with us, and we're ready to do college rack. I will say this, KW. I know that they had like a little early action tonight with Green Bay getting involved against IUPUI. I had Green Bay, and I laid 4.5. They won by 6. They won that game in Indy. I don't know. They played that game super early, but there are games tonight, tons of them. So I'm going to go through some of them. Some of them are just flat-out awful, but I still like them anyway for betting purposes. I don't know if you got in on any of these games. First of all, I guess I should do well, I'm just going to kind of go down the roll and see if you catch on with any of these games. If I catch you off guard, just say so, and I'll go to the next game. Sure. William and Mary in Charleston are playing in Charleston, and Charleston is laying 5.5. I got it at 6.5 when it opened, and I like Charleston to win a game, but William and Mary's a tough team, 8-3 in the CAA, and I like them with that number. I took them in the 6.5 to middle it.
Yeah, I like that. William & Mary actually is 7-2 this year as a road dog against the spread, so I like the vision.
All right, so Drexel at home, 500 in the CAA against a lousy James Madison team. I took Drexel and laid the six.
Yeah, I personally didn't get involved in this one, but again, James Madison's been putrid as a road dog, ATS 2-6, so if I were to play it, I think Drexel is the side.
All right, so let me look at these other ones. I had another game here, Delaware and Towson. Towson always decent, but Delaware's been better this year, 6-4 in conference, 16-7 overall, laying 2.5 at home, and I took the Hens and laid it.
Yeah, and the Blue Hens are actually playing some really, really good ball. They've won 4 in a row. They've covered 3 straight, so small price for them at home. I like that.
All right, and then Wright State and Detroit Mercy. Detroit is pathetic. Meanwhile, Wright State looking for their 20th win, 9-2 in the horizon. I think they're going to roll. It's at 12 now. I was willing to lay 13 and a hook with them.
Yeah, this is one that I actually did not jump in on, though. But so I'll respect your lean, and I'll roll with what you like.
All right, Tulsa and UConn. Tulsa's at home in the Reynolds Center. This is a big game, and it's dangerous. I got it at 4.5. It's moved to 2.5. I actually like Tulsa at 2.5.
I love Tulsa. They've covered 8 of their last 9 games. They're playing incredible. Part of that run is a 40-point beatdown of Memphis, who's still a good basketball team. I know UConn showed some fight, but I love Tulsa. And I don't know why this is coming down, but makes it easier for us.
All right, so Wichita State and Cincinnati. Carver High, what's the skinny you're telling me about? There's been some travel problems for the Bearcats.
Yeah, Cincinnati did not travel last night. Their charter flight got canceled, so they just got into Wichita this afternoon, a couple hours before the game. Hasn't really moved the line. It's still -5, but be wary if you're looking for the Bearcats tonight to come up with a big effort in Wichita.
But that line did move because I got it at 3.5, and I actually like it, Kevin. 7-2 in the American. They, you know, Wichita State has been lousy in conference. I know they're tough at home. I think the Shockers win the game, but I'll take that 5 spot with the Bearcats, and I don't care how late they got in with their playing. These are kids 20 years old. They're ready. They're playing video games, ready to rock and roll, lock and load.
I hate to say it, but I'm against you on this one. Wichita State, I saw it at 4.5 when I liked it. The Bearcats have yet to cover a game as a road dog, and the plane issues there, if they're already struggling as a road team, you now throw a curveball at them like this, it makes me like the Shockers even more.
All right, so let me see what else I got here. There's so many games. I'm losing weight. The Colorado-Cal game. So Colorado, we all know that they're ranked, and they're 17-5, 6-3 in conference in the Pac-12. And Cal's been a game under 500, 500 in conference. The game's in Boulder, and you would think that that the Buffs would spank them. But when I got it at 17, Cal's had some upsets. They played decent in some games. They don't lose many games by that high a number, and I got it at 17. So I took it.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one because Cal plays to such low numbers. It's really, really hard to blow them out. However, 0-5 this year, ATS as a road dog. Colorado is a very, very good team. So if I have to play this game, I'd rather actually lay the points. I typically would rather take a number so high. I saw it at 16, but Cal has been awful on the road this year. Absolutely horrible.
All right, Georgia State and Louisiana down in Lafayette in the Cajun Dome. But they stink, and Georgia State's tough, 8-4 in the Sun Belt. I laid 4.5. Not only that, I made it my top play tonight on PharrellOnTheBench.com.
As you should, actually, on Betting Around the Rim, Jared's have been talking up Georgia State quite a bit. He thinks that they're not only someone who will make an appearance late into March, but he really thinks they're going to win a round. So I've been told to play the Panthers from here on out.
I like UAB at home tonight over Rice. Rice is atrocious, 2-8 in Conference USA. Meanwhile, UAB 14-9. They're laying 7. I got it at 6.5. I ranked it too as a number 5 play. What do you think, UAB the Blazers?
Yeah, again, when you get into conference play and you have one of these teams that have just been so, so bad on the road, we've got enough of a sample size to where you can now start to consistently bet against that. 2-5 this year as a road dog is Rice, so I like UAB.
Arizona at the McHale taking on USC. I mean, I've seen USC have some just – I mean, they got whacked the other day over the – I mean, just blown out, and I just don't understand it. I took Arizona, and I don't like laying double digits in a conference game where there's two decent teams because they both – I mean, USC has more wins than Arizona, but I think Arizona's going to win this game. Do you think they'll cover to 10, KW?
It's tough for me. These are probably my two favorite teams in the Pac-12. I'm not saying they're better than Oregon, but I like these teams. I've been betting on these teams. Arizona now starting to figure it out on the road. Ultimately, here's what this comes down to, though, for me. When USC traveled to Oregon, they were catching 10 points. They took that game to double overtime. Now, they actually almost ended up not covering the 10 because it got so late in double overtime. They had an awful second overtime period, but they covered that number. If you can cover that big of a number and play that tight of a game at Oregon, I'll trust you to do the same at Arizona. I'll actually take the points with the Trojans.
All right, Arizona State and UCLA. I think that game's in Tempe, but I took UCLA in the number. I think the Sun Devils can win the game, but I think it's going to be closer than that.
This is kind of that threshold for me, Scott, when it comes to hoops, right? Five is kind of the spot where if it's lower than that and I like you to win, I don't really care about the number. I should be confident enough in you winning by, you know, 4 or 5 points. This is tough. I love Arizona State to win this game. Kind of a team that I might try to target into some money line parlays, get them next to a couple of other favorites, and hope it can round out a nice winner.
I don't trust them. I mean, UCLA has a better record in conference, even though they're 2 games over .500. They've actually played better in conference than Arizona State has, who's sitting at .500. Do you think the Zags can handle that 25 spot against Loyola Marymount at home?
Gonzaga, for me, is a team that I much prefer to go and lay these points with because they have the ability to name their score. It's very similar to Bama in college, Clemson in college. I feel a lot more comfortable. For me, though, 139 is the total in this game, Scott. And again, I know you've said you don't love playing the totals as much, but 139 in a Gonzaga game is crazy. They've been playing the over after over, and these numbers, 156.5, 158, 158, 156, the low numbers are 143, and you're telling me tonight that we're seeing again 139, 140, you have to play the over in this Bulldogs game.
All right, BYU's on the road in Portland. Are you going to lay that 16 in a hook?
It's a lot to lay, and for me, BYU's just not been good enough to lay that kind of wood.
Stanford's in Salt Lake Shakers against Utah. Can they win on the road? They're laying, I mean, I got them laying one. Now Utah's favored by 1.5. Do you like Stanford here on the road or not?
Yeah, I don't want to be scared off by the line movement. This is a team that's coming off of a win against the Oregon Ducks. It was a great bounce back win after they had lost to Oregon State. This is a good enough team. They should be able to keep this momentum going and still handle business against Utah.
All right, Tulane and Houston at the Fertitta Center. Houston laying a big number of 16.5. I got it at 17 when it opened, and I was willing to lay it there. Are you willing to do that?
I am. Tulane has been absolutely dreadful. They've lost 5 straight games. The Cougars are very, very good at home, and they're also coming off of a loss, Scott. So that, to me, is actually a little bit encouraging because you know then they're going to want to go out there and pour it on a team like Tulane. I'd also take a look at the under because they've played the 7 straight unders, has the Houston Cougars.
All right, so there's other games tonight we'll keep an eye on when we do in-game live at 7 to 9 Eastern with Kevin Walsh. He'll join us, and Carver High. We'll keep an eye on all of these games. A good one, Murray State and Belmont in Smashville. I think that's going to be a decent game. I'm just looking here to see if there's any other decent ones. Don't forget, Coast to Coast every day at 4 to 6 Eastern, and then in-game live 7 to 9 Eastern. You get the audio side, the radio side on Fantasy Sports Network and Fantasy Sports Radio. Both apps carry the shows. The podcast available on iTunes, Pharrell on a Bench. It drops every night, and then it airs at 12 a.m., Billy Idol Hour, and 5 a.m. every day. Check it out every night and every day on both of those apps. Pharrell, Coast to Coast. So long.